Good afternoon. I hope you are well. Now to the sermon. We're back to Matthew 6. Those of you that are visiting today, we're walking through a part of the scripture known as the Lord's Prayer. We're going through several weeks, the whole Lord's Prayer, small pieces at a time, and just trying to return our gaze as a church back to prayer. And so last week we talked about our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father is a place. Well, let me start with this. Let me start you with a story. When we look at the Gospels, we find the story in Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus has turned his eyes towards Jerusalem. It's towards the end of his three-year ministry. He knows the end is coming. He's already told his disciples about what's going to happen at the end of the story. And so he is going. He and the disciples are going through Jericho, which isn't far from Jerusalem, and they're going to Jerusalem, and he knows what waits for him there. Now, it's the end of his 3 years of ministry. He's become pretty well known. Miracles are happening. His preaching is different. Something is happening here. So in these scriptures, he's walking through Jericho, and it says there is a really big crowd of people with him. So it's probably loud, people kind of pushing around. It's like this parade is going through town, and it tells us of a man named Bartimaeus. He's blind. He's sitting on the side of the road. And it says that he calls out to Jesus, but the word that he uses in the original language is not calling out. It's like screaming at the top of his lungs. Like enough that everybody's saying, what is this guy doing? Be quiet, be quiet. They're trying to get him not to talk anymore, quit being a distraction. Jesus, the possible, they're thinking Messiah is coming through the streets, be quiet. And somehow in the midst of the crowd and the chaos, Jesus hears Bartimaeus. And says, bring him to me. Now realize in that day, if you were blind, that their perspective was this, that somehow your life was bad because God is not happy with you. You have been cursed. You are spiritually, have been discarded. God is somehow punishing you. So it's kind of like the spiritually unclean people. But Jesus, who doesn't think like that, calls him, bring him to me. They bring Bartimaeus. Jesus heals him from blindness to sight. Now, the reason I'm mentioning him is how good would it be that if you and I, if we knew for sure that when we prayed, the Father listened to us? I mean, how great would that be? How encouraging it would be that if we knew that when we opened our mouth, even though he should not be listening to us, even though, yes, we have sinned, yes, there is nothing we've done to earn the right to be heard, but we know, how great would it be that we can pray in a way that we know that our Father is listening? I mean, Scripture talks about that we could come before the throne with confidence and receive grace and mercy in time of need. How big a deal is that? With that in mind, Jesus came in Matthew 6, and he gave us this prayer. If you want to know how to pray, pray like this. You can pray it word for word if you want, or you can just mainly follow the principles that Jesus has given us. But he gives it, and he says, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father, our protector, our provider, our strong one, our leader, the one who loves us enough, the one who intimately knows our needs, who knows what's going on in our lives, our Father. And not just our Father who is weak and quiet and not paying attention. This is a Father who knows everything about us. And he's in heaven. He's on his throne. He is sovereign. He is almighty. There is nothing beyond his reach. There is nothing he cannot do. He's the one you cry out to. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed, sacred, holy, perfect, trustworthy, pure is your character, is your name. Jesus started out saying that. Do you have any idea who you have access to? He knows everything. He loves you more than you love yourself. He knows the beginning and the end. He's everlasting to everlasting. He is more than faithful. Just call out to him. But remember, he's the Father, which also brings it with it authority. We don't go to God demanding what we want, telling him what our will is. Please fulfill my request. We go to him as the Father. He is the authority. We trust him. We submit to him. We ask that his will would be done. That's where we were last week. This week we show up at this place. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does kingdom mean? Well, let's start here. In this verse, we're going to find something that they used to use in scripture time. It's a literary term called parallelism. Basically, that meant you have one phrase and then you have a second phrase. And in this type of parallelism, what that means is they both mean the same thing. They're saying the same thing twice in two different ways. And so if I want to know what your kingdom come means, that means I look and it says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So if we're praying that God's kingdom would come, we are praying that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, how is his will done in heaven? Half? 60%? In heaven, to what extent is the will of God done? 100. It's completely done. It's totally done. Everything that he wills is done in heaven. So what really are we praying for? That your kingdom would come, which means that in this world, your will be done perfectly. That's what we're praying for, that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, the last time you watched the news, how's the earth doing on that? Not real great. The last time you looked around your workplace, how are we doing on that? The last time you looked in the mirror, how are we doing on that? Because the idea of kingdom coming is that God's will be done perfectly. That's tough. That's what he's talking about, his kingdom. Now, his kingdom, and come back to that in a second. His kingdom is not like the way you and I think. We're kind of going, okay, where are the borders? Where are customs? Who's the prime minister? Who's the king? Who's the president? It doesn't work like that. This isn't geographical. His kingdom is not political. Think about it this way. To have a king, you must have a kingdom. And to be part of the kingdom, you must be submitted to the king. It's really not that complicated. Let me give you another idea here. The word that's used in the scripture in Greek is basileia, which means the realm in which a sovereign king rules. Personal question. Are you part of the kingdom of God? Which means, have you ever made God your king? Have you ever drawn near to God and allowed him to be your savior, your lord, your king, your ruler? No. I just want spiritual things. I just want a God that'll help me do what I want. Well, I would say that sounds like you may not be in the kingdom. Because for someone to be in the kingdom, they have to submit to the rule of the king. Now, one of our best examples of this is Jesus. In Jesus' life, now remember, the kingdom is spiritual. It's a spiritual kingdom. In Jesus' life, if the kingdom of God means that his will is done perfectly, in Jesus' life, what do you see? In John 5, he says, I only do what I see the Father doing. We also see in scripture where it says Jesus was tempted in every way just like we are, but never sinned. The kingdom of God had come in the life of Jesus. Jesus had ushered this in. The Pharisees would come and ask, where is the kingdom? And he would say, it is in your midst. It has already come. Pilate asked Jesus, oh, are you really the king of the Jews? And he talks about, no, my kingdom is different. My kingdom is not of this world. Because kingdom was once again wrapped up in the complete rule of God in this world. But to make it more individual, it's the complete rule of God in our lives. The only human, the only one who ever walked this earth was perfectly was Jesus, the God-man. He never sinned. You see it in the Garden of Gethsemane towards the end, right before he's arrested. He's praying to the Father. He knows, I'm about to be arrested. I'm going to be tortured. I'm going to be crucified. And so he prays. Do you remember what he prayed? Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He's praying for the kingdom to come. He's praying that the Father's will would be done completely in him and in his life. Now, it's one thing to say, yes, I'm going to follow God's will because it happens to line up with mine. Glory to God. But the question is, what happens in those times when you're wanting to go this way and you clearly know that God's wanting to go this way? What happens? If the kingdom is coming more fully in our lives, then we will go against our will, and by the grace of God, we will still follow what He wants regardless. That's why this is our picture. This is our example, what's on the screen right there. Because in that moment when Jesus was desperately wanting something else, He still had enough of the kingdom in Himself to say, but not my will, but yours be done. When you and I are praying, are we praying ultimately for God's will to be done? Are we just begging continually? And nothing wrong with begging at times. But the thing is, are we just begging for God to give us what we want? Or are we somehow praying, coming under the Father, saying, God, honestly, from all I can see, this is what I want. This is what I think is best. But you're all knowing. You know the future. You know the present. You know me better than I know myself. You know what's going to happen in the days ahead. And so, Father, I will receive anything from your hand that you're asking me to receive. Are we praying that God's will would be done? Now, as we continue to think about this, let's say this. How do you pray? Maybe you don't have a job right now and you've got a job interview tomorrow. How are you going to pray for that? If we want the kingdom to come, that is. If you want the kingdom to come in your life, that God would fully rule, how are you going to pray about that? God, I pray. Well, let's say how not to pray for it. God, I pray that you'll give me that job. The Lord, forgetting everybody else, you know I'm trying as hard as I can and I'm a really good person. So I pray that tomorrow when I go in there, you're going to give me that job. Amen. You're thinking, well, I don't quite that think. I mean, it's good that you're praying, but I don't think that's quite it. If we're looking for the kingdom of God to come and the king is the only one who knows best, then I'm going to walk into it saying, God, I just pray that in this last 24 hours before the interview that you would somehow, you'd help me be prepared. That when I'm in the interview, you would help me just think clearly, present myself well. Lord, I just pray that if it's your will, that you would give me favor in the eyes of the one who has the power to hire me. I just pray that somehow you would open the door and I'd get the job. But God, I know you know all things. And I know that you've promised that if I seek you first in the kingdom of God, that you will provide for me. And so, Father, I just pray in the midst of waiting for the interview tomorrow that you would give me peace, that you give me confidence, that I could rest. And I could just go into that interview knowing that I prepared the best I can, having full confidence of whatever decision is made, because I know you're my God and you're going to open any door you want to open and you're going to close every door you want closed. And you walk in peace and you walk out in peace. Your only other option is to walk in like it all depends on you. What happens if you don't get the job then? You're mad and angry and excuses, or I'm a loser, or I'm not good. And God said, would you just get rid of all that? Trust in me. Yes, prepare yourself. Yes, be ready. But let's pray that God's will would be done. Now, let me just say this. When you think about your life, and when the lights of God are shined, the holiness of God is shined into our lights, what parts of your life right now would you say honestly are not under the kingdom of God? I'm not saying you're not, But it could be, yes, in the past, you gave your life to Jesus. You put your faith in Him. You've turned from your sin. You are now a child of God. You've been forgiven. But does everything in your life actually look like that? Let's think about this. Are your emotions fully submitted to the kingdom of God? Are the words of our mouths fully submitted to the word, to the kingdom of God? The way that we spend our money, is it fully submitted to the kingdom of God? Our relationships, the way we think about future, if you're not married, the way that maybe you're thinking about mate, are all those things submitted to the will of God? Because that's what he's talking about. It's not just the kingdom. This whole verse today, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a great verse when you're talking about missions. Yes, let's make disciples of all nations. Okay, we can use that verse to come behind it. The thing is, though, it is a whole lot easier for us to talk about kingdom out there than it is to talk about kingdom in here. And it's okay to be praying for the kingdom that it would come out there. But honestly, it doesn't have a lot of integrity to it unless I'm also pursuing the kingdom in here. And so are you and I brave enough to submit ourselves to the conviction of God and say, God, I just pray that you'd reveal in my heart. I know I'm never going to be perfect this side of heaven. And so, God, I just pray that this week, as I walk out of here, that you would begin to show in my life, convict me. Are there areas of my life that are not submitted to the King? And God, I just pray as your Spirit works in me, that you would refine me and make me more like Jesus and bring more of my life under the authority of the King. Those are options. Now, this is what's going to happen. The more that you and I are ruled by the kingdom, this is what comes next. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. The more that the light of the kingdom begins to dominate in our lives, we then take that into the workplace. Where the more and more and more and more we become like Christ and we are under the King in our workplace, the transition from personal to public, from my own life in the kingdom to the whole world in the kingdom, is as the kingdom level rises in my life, I now walk into public and start relating with people in a kingdom mindset. God is now the ruler of my life more and more day by day. And so we walk out and your coworker begins to say, man, you're different and I want what you have. Or let's say their marriage is about to end and they look across the whole place, all the cubicles in your work area going, I could talk to him, I could talk to her, I don't want to talk to any of them. I got to talk to him. For some reason, your name comes to mind because there's something about you that's different. There is something about you that is hopeful. There's something about you that is stable. There's something about you that is loving and honest and encouraging. And out of everybody else they could have picked, they pick you. Why? Because the kingdom is becoming dominant in our lives. And just like was prayed earlier, this thing that's starting in China and now they're worried about if it's going to different countries and are people going to die and get sick? Can you imagine? Let's change that story where let's talk about the gospel where somebody got the kingdom in Spain and then they flew home and they couldn't stop talking about it. And a few more people got the kingdom and then they flew to where they went. I mean, look around this room. How many different countries are we from? What happens if the kingdom took hold of us and we just went home or wherever God has planned next to us? The potential is limitless if there would be a group of believers who actually took the idea of kingdom seriously. And God would go from here, we would become ambassadors, and he'd send us out. Why do you say ambassadors? Because we're not from this world. We're just passing through. We were created for something that's eternal. This blip of a life is going to be over and we're going to be in heaven for billions, trillions, however many years. This is not our home. And so he refers us as ambassadors. You may say, well, I'm Nigerian. Just for a blink of an eye, you're Nigerian. No, I'm Spanish. Just for a moment. No, I am French. Just for a mist and a vapor, you're French. But this is going to be gone. And the kingdom that you and I belong to, the family that you and I belong to, is not based on skin color or how much money you have or what education or what language you speak. The kingdom is based on the fact that we have submitted and come under the rule of the King. That's who we are. And so because of that, when we go out the door today into the rest of the world, we are ambassadors because this is not our home. We take the message of the King to the world. We don't take their customs. We don't become like them. We don't pursue citizenship in this world. Our citizenship belongs to another world. And we move forward. Now, as we continue through this idea, what does all this have to do with praying? It has everything to do with praying because it comes down to the kingdom coming. Is God's will being done? Are we praying with the will of God? Let me show you this verse. In 1 John 5:14-15, it says, "And this is the confidence that we have towards Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him." Now, I already gave you an example earlier. Basically, He's just saying, no, your confidence is if you pray in line with what God's will is, it's going to be done. Now, can you think of something that for sure you know is the will of God? How about this? The book of James says, if you're lacking in wisdom, ask for it and I'll give it to you. It's a promise. If I pray today, God, I just pray. Or let's say you today, you're stuck in a situation with your kids and the whole parenting thing and you don't know what to do. What's He say do? Pray for wisdom. What's He going to do with that? What do we know He's going to do? He's going to give us wisdom. Somehow, if we will humble our hearts and ask for something He's already promised, He'll give it. So in that situation, it's just saying, pray My will. Now, there are going to be other situations that you definitely know if you'll get in God's word that it's not His will. I mean, it's like a child coming to their parents. Now, sometimes children kind of go, oof, don't ask Mom. Let's go with Dad. Or don't ask Dad. Let's go with Mom. Or, boo, Dad's had a really bad day at work. Look at him. Let's not ask him anything today. Or maybe they have a strategy. Okay, you ask him this way, and I'm going to ask him this way, and in the end, we'll get him to come to the middle thing, which we really want. I mean, kids are pretty smart. Now, there are some things that you're going to ask, and you know they're going to say yes. Well, how do you know that? Because as a child, you've been around your parents long enough. You know how they think. Or there are going to be other things you think, don't even waste your breath asking that, because there's no way that one's going to work. But then you got this middle section, which if you ask it rightly, maybe so. That what would fall in this category would be like praying for the job. Because honestly, do you know? You have a good guess maybe, but you don't actually know. So that's that middle area where you just say, God, I don't know what Your will is. This seems in line with something that could be Your will. It doesn't seem like something that's against Your will. So God, I'm just going to pray it. And you just pray and you ask at the end that His will would be done. Already preparing yourself that you're going to live with whatever He says. Because honestly, if you say, God, I just pray that Your will would be done, but your heart isn't ready to obey whatever He says, then you didn't really mean this. You need both parts. Where you just say, God, I will do whatever You say. I just pray that Your will would be done. And then when He says it, you do it. It's a lot simpler. I'm not saying easy, but it's a lot simpler at times than we think. And so you need a heart that is neutral. God, I'm just going to follow You. You're my King. Now, with that in place, God, I just pray that You'd show me Your will. Because you can't really ask for this if you've already decided. You haven't really decided if you're going to obey or not. My heart is neutral and obedient. God, I ask that You'd show me Your will. And guess what happens after that? His kingdom comes. Now, part of it is this. Well, I don't really know God's character enough. You got to get to the Bible. That may be another thing you can write with a piece of paper. You write in the Bible, you're reading the Bible, and you go, wow, God is gracious. God is kind. Oh, God does not like that. God loves this. And you just begin to know your God just like you knew your parents. So how are we going to get to know God so we can pray in line with His will so that the kingdom would come? Get in His Word. Start praying. Know His promises. We just begin to walk submitted to the kingdom. Now, let me just say this. There could be some of you in the room today that honestly you're not in the kingdom. It's a new idea to you. How do you get into the kingdom? Basically, it's coming to the point where you just finally say, I am done being the Lord and Master of my life. I have sinned. And I would like to put my faith in Jesus. You could say, I want to put my trust in Jesus. And it's just giving your life to Jesus. It's just trusting Him, putting your faith in Him. Have you ever put your faith in Jesus before? Have you ever trusted in Jesus? Have you ever turned from your sin and your selfishness and just believed in Jesus? Now you could say it another way. Have you ever, He is King, have you ever submitted your life to the King? If so, then you've entered into the kingdom. If you have not, then maybe today is the day you need to do that. Let me just close up with a few thoughts. Let me show you this. All who have made God their king belong to the kingdom of God. That's the earth. It's not bound by borders. It's not bound by which political party you're on. Those dots represent all of us and all the people we know back home, unless you're from Spain, all the people you know here, who have submitted to the rule of God as king. We are the kingdom. We will move forward as the kingdom. God has called us to continue to live out the kingdom, be ambassadors for the kingdom, that there will be a day that people from every nation know the glory of God, that God's kingdom will expand more and more fully in our lives, and through that it will expand more and more fully to the nations. That is us. That is our role. And so our prayer request as we leave today is this. God, I pray that Your kingdom would come to rule more and more in my life, that You would show me my sin, that You give me the grace to become the person You want me to be, and that somehow in the process, my life would be used as an ambassador, and Your kingdom would come in my workplace, Your kingdom would come in my house, Your kingdom would come in my neighborhood, Your kingdom would come in my extended family. And it all started where? One person, me, you, who submitted themselves to God and let the kingdom come forcefully in our lives. And then we just let Him do the rest. That's today. That's our prayer. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we come before You today knowing that, Father, at times we are rebellious people. Knowing that, Father, there are times that we think we know what is right. Father, knowing at times that we are not submitted. And so, Father, we just pray that You would be honest with us. But at the same time, You would be gracious with us. And Father, You would begin to give us a burden on our hearts for things that need to be changed. And Lord, You would make us more and more and more like Jesus, that our life could come under the rule of the kingdom and as You as King. And Father, as that happens in our lives, in this church, in this city, in this country, that Your kingdom would come forcefully in ways that we never expected. Father, may Your kingdom come and Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Please, Father, have Your way with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.